And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
So hello and welcome to another Foot in the Opposition Camp. And as we all know, for Yeovil Town fans, it could be a big day for Yeovil Town today with the potential, and I stress the word potential, of winning the National League South title. But as we do with all of these Foot in the Opposition camps, we're going to be joined by a supporter of a club who wants to stop us from that potential. So I'm very pleased to welcome, I think I'm right in saying, welcome back Hayden Baker to the Glovers cast. So Hayden, am I right in saying you've been with us before?
Have been, yeah. I spoke to Ian last time I came on, back in October. I think I was a lot more pessimistic about the game than, oddly, I am for this one. Yeah, it feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it, October?
It does. And I probably remiss of me not to mention that Hayden is obviously a Worthing supporter and actually speaking to us from the ground. Do you have a formal role with the club, Hayden?
I think I'm down as media officer. But
realistically,
my role is a bit of a mixture. I mostly do our interviews, so our post-match and previews and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm here today to do. I've done our preview with the manager just prior to this. I'm in a very echoey room, so I do apologise for the sound. But my role was a bit fluid, let's say, at Worthing. Still wind up behind the goal, banging the drum and stuff, and doing the interviews after the game. So a bit of a mixed bag.
That's what we love about non-league football, isn't it? Everyone's a little bit of everything.
Absolutely. It's the charm of it, isn't it? It's what it's all about.
100%. And as you say, we last met back in October, which was, I was down there for that one. It was a very closely contested game, which Yeovil only just, but managed to win out with a very late winner from Morgan Williams. So I guess start by telling us what's happened at Worthing since October, because I think I'm right in saying a lot is probably a good way to start.
Yeah, I think it's probably the safest description of how our season's been since then. It's been all sorts. I think around that time that we last met, we were in a bit of an odd patch. I think we came under a bit of sticky form. We were pretty poor in the cups. And it started to look like the season was kind of getting away from us a little bit. And then all of a sudden, over the new year, we were phenomenal. And we thumped Maidstone, we thumped Torquay, battered Truro away. We get all these unbelievable results. We start kicking on again. We felt pretty safe in those top two places in the playoffs. Obviously, the season's gone the way it's gone with Chelmsford starting to pick up steam again and everything like that. But yeah, Adam Hinchwood leaving the club at the start of last month was a bit of a shell shock, to say the least. That was probably something that we didn't expect to come this season. Obviously, at some point with a manager of his calibre, that was going to come one day, but didn't expect it to be this campaign. So yeah, that's thrown everything really up in the air. But Aaron's been at the helm now for six games, I believe, maybe five. But a decent spell of time now that he's got his feet under the rug, so to speak. And yeah, it's starting to come together a little bit again. This Easter period, we've looked a lot more like ourselves again, a bit more luck our way, a bit more defensively sound. So we're going into Saturday with, albeit with the occasion, it's a little bit of a daunting prospect. We are looking pretty confident going into Saturday.
Yeah, so just take us back to Adam Hinchwood's departure, because he'd been with you for quite some time, hadn't he? Or as managers' careers go. So how much of a surprise was that? Did it literally come from nowhere?
It about as literal as it gets. Adam himself didn't even know it was coming.
Right.
We had the game against Braintree on the Saturday. We lost 1-0. And on the Sunday evening was when Adam found out the job was coming. On the Monday, he took it. On the Tuesday, we announced it. It really was as rapid fire as it gets. It came out of left field for absolutely everyone, even internally at the club. There were a lot of us who knew nothing about it prior, really, to just before the announcement. So it was, you know, a complete whirlwind of a week in the end. The situation for Adam and his coaches, Gary Elphick and Cam Morrison, who went with him, was it's a role you can't turn down. Massive football club, York City, massive pedigree, and obviously everything that comes around that, the budget and the ambition and all of that side of things, it was just impossible for them to turn that kind of job down, despite how short notice it all was. So, yeah, no, it was about as out of nowhere as it gets. And that Tuesday that we announced it, we did our interviews just in the opposite room with them for their leaving, and they said their goodbyes to the players. And when I tell you that atmosphere, it was like a wake, and every person there had just broken up with their missus. It was this bizarre, empty, I don't even know how to describe it. It was the most surreal funeral experience of a training session I've ever been around. So yeah, it caught us all very off guard at the time.
Yeah. And Aaron is Aaron Racine, I think I'm right in saying, who was a player up until, he was even a player at the start of this season. Am I right?
Yeah, he was. Aaron was our club captain for a number of years. He initially came to the club as a coach from Forest Green after a few issues, injury-wise. He's had a career plagued with them, unfortunately. But yeah, even at the start of this season, he was our captain. A wayward pass against Averley towards the start of the season, back in, I think, October sort of time. He overstretched himself and the knee went, the fourth injury, I think, on that same knee. And because he's in his early 30s with a young family, he kind of decided that now was the time to pack it in. So he only officially retired from playing just over 2 months ago. Didn't really have much of a plan to get into coaching just yet. Don't think it was going to suit his schedule and a new business that he started up recently. But all of a sudden, this opportunity comes up, and for himself and the two coaches alongside him, Dean Hammond and Darren Budd, they've kind of just thrown everything to the wayside to get on board with it because it's still a good opportunity for them. So yeah, even for him, I don't think any of them would have ever expected to be in the position they're in. But now they're there, now they're in this role, they're settling in really well, and you can start to see them understanding what they want to be as managers and coaches in that sort of way.
Yeah, and listening to the Oval manager Mark Cooper speaking on Thursday, he I think managed Aaron Racine when they were at Forest Green together, and he described him as a good young interim coach. But one thing that Mark Cooper says almost without fail in all of his pre-match conference is that whatever a team plays like when they come to Yeovil, they will play differently at Yeovil. But he said he did not expect Worthing to get away from their footballing principles when they come there, because he described Worthing as the best, the purest footballing team in the division. And obviously it certainly looks like it's been an exciting one to watch. I mean, would you expect as he carried on the style of play that Adam Hinchell would had?
It's certainly very similar. I think Aaron is, he's effectively a student of Adam Hinchwood's style, being his captain for the best part of 5 years and working, as I said, under a coach, as a coach under him a little bit as well. So for those guys, it's kind of natural for them for that style of football to be part of their identity. I think as a club as well, it made no sense to bring in a completely different manager at the front end of this season that would play a completely different style. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a similar sort of principles. There are a few little tweaks. We've been adjusting a few different things, particularly at the back, starting to play a back three more recently, which we haven't done for stretches of this season. So that's been something a bit different, and a few players that are maybe getting more in favour than others. So there are definitely tweaks and a few little bits and bobs that are different. Maybe a few things are still getting ironed out a bit as well, where they're trying to figure out how that fits into the identity that was kind of built under Adam. But yeah, it's a similar style of football. And I think we take a lot of pride in playing good football because, my God, some of the teams in this league, some of the stuff you wind up seeing, I think it's nice to be one of the sides that play a little bit on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't mention your season without mentioning Ollie Pearce. I mean, his stats in front of goal this season. Am I right in saying, is it 36 he's got this season?
I should know this.
Lost count.
I've lost count.
I'm sure I read somewhere 36 in 40 games, which is just obscene. Tell us a bit about him. Has he shown this form previously? He's always been fairly prolific.
The best way I can describe Ollie Pearce is he's a non-league cheat code. If you've got him in your team, you're going to be a promotion contender in some sort of sense. He's just a complete forward. Everything you want, the work rate, on the ball, the power, speed, his versatility, but most importantly is that finishing. And yeah, he has been. I think when he initially came to us, he was a Bognor youth player for a couple of years, our arch rivals. And we picked him up 6 years ago now. And initially, he wasn't quite getting the goals. It was a lot of work rate, but he wasn't quite getting the goals the first season or two. An okay kind of figure, like 15 a season in the Isthmian Premier. And all of a sudden, he just clicked. And particularly in our promotion season, when we won the league title, officially won the league title, he scored 36 goals that season.
Wow.
And you think, wow, that's unbelievable. What a record. And then you question whether he can do it at the next level. And then last season, he was in the mid-20s mm-hmm. at this level. And now this season, he's done what he's done. 36 so far this season. So he's just an unbelievable striker. I think it's just the reliability of him. He's gone recently. He had a spell where he, 5 games, he scored only, I think, 2 goals. Only two. And everyone was questioning him, saying like, oh, he's having a dry patch. He's in a drought. And he was saying the same thing. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm not scoring enough. I'm fuming. And I think it's just the mentality of the bloke. He's just, as I say, a non-league cheat code. You know you're getting goals out of him, no matter how you play, no matter where you're playing, you know you're going to get something out.
Yeah. I suppose the obvious question then is, given how prolific he is, why is he not progressed? Sounds like form that should be Football League clubs looking at him.
Well, the thing for Ollie is I think he probably has got that interest, and there are definitely teams that, you know, approach Worthing for him. I think the thing is with us being semi-pro is you're in a unique situation with a lot of players like this. Ollie's in his late 20s now, he's 28. Recently he's settled down a little bit. I've been with someone a couple of years and he's kind of, you know, settling down a bit. He's got a job that he likes. He's paid well in. And it gets to a point where if you step up a level, maybe 2 levels, you might not get the money that you're getting out of being a semi-professional footballer with a good job. Or you're going to have to completely relocate your life. And we all know how fickle football is.
Yeah.
For maybe a career that doesn't last. Mm-hmm. So
that job is gone and all the things that came with it.
Exactly. And you know, you've thrown away everything to chase a dream, and you know, maybe it is worth it, particularly if you're younger and maybe you don't have as many things tying you down. But I think particularly for someone like Ollie, that's the circumstances around him. Saying that, I think he, with the interest he'll probably get, maybe he will think to himself, it's now or never, and he'll have a go. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. He went on England sea duty recently and he was blown away by like the professionalism. And I dread to think if that gave him the bug a little bit for a bit of that.
You'd have thought there'd be a tidy sum coming your way if he were to go. I can't imagine he would go cheap.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think we're a little bit too, I suppose we've got the Brighton influence in Sussex, don't we? So we get that negotiating power, I suppose. I don't think we'd let him go cheap. No,
absolutely.
But don't go get any ideas for
him. I was going to say, I know there's a few clubs who were like, we should get Ollie Pearce. It's like it's going to be that easy, given that, yeah, other side of the country as well. But anyway, we better talk about today's game as we're listening to this. So, I mean, what can we expect? Obviously, all Yeovil fans will be turning up hoping for a title-winning party, but do you think Worthing have got it in their locker to come and spoil the party?
We've definitely got a bit of confidence with it. I think we, once upon a time, we bottled the big occasions. We are a team that perennially has bottled big games in the past, but we found ourselves this season being a little bit different, and we're a little bit more up for these occasions more often now. I think the feeling going into today's game would have been similar to what we felt going into Torquay at the start of the season back in August. And hindsight's 2020, we know the state that they're in now. But at that point in the season, having been a semi-professional club our entire existence and going to actual league stadiums that are full of fans that are 100% supporters of that football club, quite a mind-blowing experience. But we went there and we battered them 3-0 and we coasted and we were completely at ease with the occasion. We handled it really well. We actually kind of flourished in it. And I think we're kind of going into this the same way. We're looking at this like, okay, we're going to a league ground. It's a big occasion. It's going to be a big crowd, but that's kind of what we're here for. What's the point of being involved in football if we're not going to step up for these kind of occasions? So I think as a fan base off the pitch, there's a bit of excitement to come for it. I think on the pitch, the players are sort of relishing the opportunity to maybe spoil the party, although ideal world, maybe we both win and Chelmsford lose, you know. That could work out pretty well. But yeah, I think we're, I wouldn't say confident, obviously. I think we're well aware that it's going to be really difficult, but I think we're kind of excited for it, in a way.
Yeah. And as you say, you come into it in good form, a 5-1 win against Havant on Good Friday, and then a 2-0 win over Hampton, who are no mugs, on Easter Monday. So what is there likely to be the same kind of team that you had on Easter Monday? I know injuries have been a problem for certainly recently, haven't they?
Yeah, they've plagued us a lot across the season. We're a little bit better at the moment. I think the squad is pretty much full, maybe a few players with knocks and maybe working with the odd painkillers here and there. But we're in a pretty good spot for that now, which I think tells with the two results over Easter. I think it will be similar. I think we'll probably be looking similar to Hampton, where we're a little bit more defensively sound. We'll probably adapt our game to be a little bit more structural, just given the quality that Yeovil have and the fact that we are away and with the crowd that'll be behind you guys as well. So we'll probably look to be a little bit more sensible, maybe not quite as fluid and attacking as we usually would be. But yeah, similar sort of performances to those two. But those two wins have been needed though, because prior to that, we were looking a bit listless. The Chippenham game prior away, the 3-1 defeat, it was probably one of the poorer performances we've had of the season. So yeah, we're starting to build some momentum now. And I think that needs to keep going performance-wise against you on Saturday.
Yeah, and I guess just finally, you obviously been, as you say, in that second place, and I think every Yeovil fan would have said we expected Worthing to be the ones that really pushed us up until the manager's departure. Would second or third be success for Worthing this season?
Yeah, it'd be a massive success. I think given the fact that we got into playoffs last season, which was probably a bit unexpected to come in fourth last campaign, I think given the quality that came into the league this season with yourselves and Maidstone on paper, what Torquay were bringing, and then the investment around the league with even teams like Eastbourne going professional, Hampton and Richmond becoming a better side and all these kind of things. So many factors, so many competitive teams in this league now. I think we looked into this season like, okay, we need to kick on. We need to progress from what we did last season. But at the same time, that level of competition at the top of the table has never been higher at this level. So, yeah, to come second or third would be a phenomenal achievement for us this season. I think getting into the playoffs and being in a good position in the playoffs would have been a good accomplishment. I think it still would, given the managerial circumstances and how things have changed across the season. But to come second or third would be a phenomenal accomplishment for us. And, you know, who knows, you get into that position and you never know what might happen beyond that. You never know if you know, get a favourable draw maybe, and it's a team that you're quite good against at home, and you know, you never know, you find yourselves in the National League next season. But just to get into those positions is progress for us. And I think that's kind of the mantra, just getting progression and improving season on season.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, how many Worthing fans can we expect to see coming down? We know from October, it's a long old way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to know. I think you guys took great numbers. I'd love to know more about you guys' journey, actually, how you found Worthing. But we've got a coach sold. I know that much. And I know a handful of people driving and doing their own little bits and bobs and doing trains and stuff like that. So my generous estimate at the moment is about 100 to 150. That's kind of what I want. I'm not sure if that is the case or will be the case, but I'd like it to be around that mark. Would have been brilliant if we could have taken hundreds and had that terrace behind the goal. We're a bit gutted we haven't got that. But
make a bit more of a noise in the stand, I think. The terrace is open, so it doesn't really create much of an atmosphere.
That is true, yeah. Having the roof over would actually help out quite a bit with that.
Especially if it's going to be the weather where it always seems to rain at Yeovil. So you might be grateful for the cover.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I think we'll be taking that. Been the same sort of story over here as well, funny enough. We've got a documentary crew at the moment following our season because of the story of our chairman. And they have said every game until Monday had rained that they've come and filmed that. It's been about 10 games this season they filmed that, and every single one of them has chucked it down. So, yeah, nice drizzly footage of Worthing for that.
Absolutely. Well, brilliant. Well, Hayden, really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And obviously, we can't wish you the best of luck for today. But after that, the very best of luck. And it would be lovely to be going back to Worthing next season with both of us in the National League Premier. I remember it was a very friendly atmosphere when we went into a very tidy little tidy ground, you know, nice clubhouse and everything. I really enjoyed my visit there. And I still say that game was probably one of my favourites this season. And there's been a few of those. So, yeah, best of luck with the rest of the season, obviously after today.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and I say the same back to you guys. Enjoy, inevitably, the National League next season. And yeah, here's hoping to a good game today.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Hayden.
Nice one. Cheers, mate.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making for his back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Manon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!